Test, 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 check, 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 test, test, test. Am I on? Check, 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 testing, testing. Are we there? There we go. Good morning, church. How we doing? Let's all gather together. Let's grab a seat, if you will. We're about ready to begin. We'll have the ushers close the door. And we'll begin worship this morning. It's so good to see you, and it's good to see all of you in one place and one piece together. Yeah, so this is what happens when you don't do music. Nobody's listening. We have somebody lost $1 million, and it's in the kitchen. If that's you, raise your hand, would you? Okay, there you go. Yeah, all right. All right. Yeah, Mitch, you didn't lose $1 million. I know that for sure. Well, it's a beautiful day that God's given us to worship Him, and I'm glad that you're all doing well. I'm glad. Bill, I'm talking. Would you just take it? Would you sit down, please? Trying to have church here, for crying out loud. But it's good to have you all here today, and we are celebrating a wonderful day today. Mary Ruth, it's good to have you here today, so blessings on your day. I want us to continue to pray for our community. Most of you are familiar with what happened the first part of the week on Wednesday. I was coming home from Southern California to be able to visit my grandkids. I haven't seen them in 3 or 4 months, and as you know how that is when it's a long period of time, you haven't seen your grandkids, and you find out they're all graduating, and you hadn't, you know, you didn't even know it. But got a chance, and then I was going home down Riverside, and all of a sudden, all the streets were all blocked off. I couldn't get home. I tried to figure out what is going on. I turned on the radio, and that's when I found out we had an active shooter. I wasn't here on Wednesday morning, but Band of Brothers was canceled. Scott Peterson came in and evacuated everybody. And the young man, there's two officers, I believe, that three officers that were wounded altogether. The first one is Nick Dreyfus, and we're going to be praying for him. He is a sheriff out of serving us and our community, and we want to lift him up. His in-laws, John and Eileen Magna, go here, the First Baptist, been in touch with them, been in prayer with them, but he's doing well. And we really want to continue to lift him up in prayer. So you be doing that. And for the other two officers that were injured, and for all of our law enforcement, this is really a scary time, isn't it? The world has gone absolutely nuts around us. But I want to tell you this. We're going to look at the Word of God today. We're going to find out that God is absolutely in control. He's in control of all things, and He is in control of this world. Pray for Gus Best. As you know, he had surgery. And he's doing well, except that he is in pain. So that's never a fun thing to have your old shoulder part there reconstructed. So keep him and Karen in your prayers, if you would. I want to introduce to you our new Pastor Will. He's not really new. Chris Esparza. You want to grab that mic right there? There you go. Yeah. Excellent. Chris is was our middle school youth pastor, and now he's going to be the pastor of middle school and high school. So we're excited about that. Chris graduated from master's and has a master's of divinity already, which is really exciting. And he's got teenage boys, and so he needs extra prayer. And he has a beautiful wife, Bonnie. She's not here this morning in this service, but he'll be here second service. So we want to pray a blessing on him and just ask God to encourage him. Anything you'd like to say to the congregation?
I'm just looking forward to this opportunity. Providence is always interesting with the Lord.
Yeah.
And got some big shoes to fill, especially for high school. But with God's help, we can do it. Just looking forward to serving these students and serving you parents.
Amen. You be praying for this man, all right? Let me pray for him. Father in heaven, we do ask a blessing on the Esparza family, Lord, and for Chris, his call to ministry, his willingness to serve you. Father, we pray that as he ministers to our youth and as to the church in large, that you would give him the words to say, that you would bring strength to him, Father, as he teaches them, and wisdom and insight that only comes from you, Father. And may He impart that to our young, precious people who we love so much, our middle schoolers, our high schoolers. Lord, we ask a blessing on them too in this new leadership. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the beauty of it. We're here to worship You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings, brother.
Thank You.
All right, church, let's stand. Let's give the Lord some praise. Is God good this morning? Our God is good. He's good all the time. And His mercy endures forever. Lift up your voice and let's sing. Lord, You are good and Your mercy endureth forever. Sing it again. Lord, You are good and Your mercy endureth forever. All the people sing. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship You. Hallelujah! 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 We worship You for who You are. Oh, sing that again! We worship You. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We worship You for who You are. And You are good. Oh, yes, You are. Sing that again, church. Lord, You are good. Lord, You are good and Your mercy endureth forever. Yes, You are. Lord, You are good and Your mercy endureth forever. People, people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship. Everyone has a place in Him. Amen? Amen. Let's sing this. Who am I?
Who am I that You are mindful of me? That You hear me when I call. Is it true? Is it true that You are thinking of me?
Community, just even this week, how important it is that we come and we sing the praises of God. We understand from the Psalms that the Lord is enthroned on the praises of his people, that his joy is a strengthening power for those who will come to him by faith, who will open up their mouths and sing his praise. And we need that, right? We need that strength today. We need that blessing. I'm looking at police dispatchers this week who'd worked her tail off to make thank you, to make sure that we were safe, knowing that that we have a friend, Katie McCorkle, who's been doing, I don't know how many 12-hour shifts she works in a row. Scott Peterson, same thing, thank you. Looking and seeing those in this community, we want to teach you a new song. And even as we were singing, Lord, you are good. Your mercy endures forever, people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, and looking over and seeing Mary Ruth sing every single word of these songs. I love you so much. I'm just, you're such an encouragement. Every generation. This blessing comes out of the book of Numbers. Kelsey's going to teach it to us, and I want to encourage you to sing it. Sing it over each other. Sing it over those who are gathering with us online. Sing these words that the Lord has given us to bless our churches, our community, and our world.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Let's sing that together, okay? Church, we're going to sing the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's give it a try.
Generations and your family and your children and their children. See it again. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your families and your children and your children. And then sing it again. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning and the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you, he is for you.
God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated.
That's a good reminder, right? The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And even in dark times like this, you know what? We can actually be thankful for these times because it's such a fresh reminder that even in trial and trouble, God can shine upon us no matter what's happening in our land, right? Hey, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's put these things to his feet. Father God, thank you for today. And Father, we thank you for the privilege. This is a reminder to us, God, that meeting together, as the book of Hebrews says, is precious. It's vital. And just as one of my students had written on the chalkboard, I will never complain about having to go to school ever again. Because, Lord, we're not meant to be isolated. We're not meant to be alone. God, we are meant to be a people of community and togetherness and relationship and love. And we thank you, God, that you have called us through the gospel into a love relationship. And we thank you, God, for that because we can pray. And as a corporate body, we can offer our prayers to you. And we just thank you, God, for our leadership who stands courageous in the truth to gather us together, to remind us that we are not lost. We are not alone, God. We are part of a body, and the body is called the body of Jesus Christ. And so we just thank you for them. We want to lift up Pastor Gus. And we ask for your great grace upon his body as he heals. And we pray, God, that even in the pain and in the discomfort, it would just cause him to reach out to you. And we pray, God, that he would find your healing hands, your powerful hands, your loving hands, healing him and comforting him and even encouraging him through his healing time, God. We lift up these three officers that were wounded in the line of duty. We pray especially for Nick Dreyfus. And we thank you, God, that you protected his life even in a very dangerous and harrowing situation. Lord God, we thank you, Father, that he is recovering at home. Thank you, God, you have delivered him back to his family. We also pray for these other two officers that you would heal them, not only physically, God, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally. God, we pray that you would re-strengthen them in all those areas that they can get back into the workforce, back into the community to keep us safe. We pray also, Lord, for... God, we just want to pray just for our community, Father, and even our land. We're torn by racial violence, racial strife. God, we're torn by religious strife, Lord. God, we pray as your people, help us to be the lights that you've called us to be. Help us to be the bearers of truth and the gospel, because the only way our land is going to be healed is when the gospel goes forward and changes hearts. God, you know that when you win the hearts of a people, you win the nation. So we pray, God, help us, each one of us, to see each of us. When we look in the mirror, we look at ourselves because of your grace, because of your glory, and we say, Lord, you've made me a change agent because of the gospel. Help me to live it. Help me to speak it. Help me to show it to my community. And we pray, God, that through that we trust that you will work through your word and through the power of the gospel to change hearts, to change communities, to bring reconciliation, to bring healing, God. And we pray, God, that that would be the thing that would turn our nation back to you, back to its roots, back to the cross, Lord. So as we continue in worship, God, I pray for all of us. Help us to see that this is a fresh reminder that the heart of man is wicked and it's evil, but that in the grace of the gospel, Lord, that heart is reborn anew, it's reborn alive, and it's reborn to love you and to serve you and to love neighbor. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. If you got your Bible this morning, open it up, if you will, to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, titled the message, is it coming up on the screens, Mark, or will it come up on the screens? Sleepless in Babylon. Good job. Thank you, crew back there. I have no idea how to do any of that back there, and I'm so glad that you do. So, you know, if you want to stop all this writing and everything like that, I just think they should start the baseball season and we'd be fine. Life would just go on as normal. But things have been really weird, haven't they? Wow. I wondered, has any of this caused stress in your life? And one of the things that causes anxiety and stress is when everything in the world around us seems to be going nuts, and that's about the best way that you can describe this. And the stress and the anxiety that can build up within people actually can cause nightmares or night terrors or bad dreams. I've talked to several people who are having difficult time sleeping. I talked to several people who said that they can't sleep because the lump in their bed is the gun they're sleeping on, just waiting for somebody to break in. But the truth is that we can suffer and lose sleep in difficult times like this. And they tell us, doctors tell us, that we can have dreams, nightmares. They're actually anxiety dreams. Things that you are worried about can actually take to bed with you. And as your mind is entering REM sleep, that's rapid eye movement, you can actually experience real frustration. And it happens when you're going through conflict. It happens when you're going through difficult times. I remember when I was a child, I was going in for a dental appointment. This is back in the dark ages when they did dentistry without any Novocaine, and I was going in to get a cavity filled, and I was just absolutely terrified. And I had a nightmare that night, and the nightmare that I had was that I had gone to the dentist set me down in the chair, I opened my mouth, and all my teeth were gone. And the dentist was yelling at me because I had pulled all my teeth out because I didn't want him to drill in them. That's how ridiculous is that? But nevertheless, that was the dream. Today we're going to look at a dream, and it's a real dream. A dream that is going to cause this man, Nebuchadnezzar, king, a tremendous amount of anxiety. And as you look at this dream with me in Daniel chapter 2, you're going to notice something very powerful. You're going to notice perhaps the reason why he is so scared in this dream is that this dream is not just a normal dream. It's one that is given to him by God. One of the ways in which God communicates is through dreams. There have been those in the Bible who have had dreams, supernatural revelation given to them by God. In this case, it comes to a man who is an unsaved man, a man who knows not the Lord, but a man who is a king, a man who is in power and authority. And this dream is going to be so upsetting to him that he's going to do everything within his power to try to understand it. So let's look at the dream this morning because it has great implications for those of us who are living today. Chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. The king commanded that the magicians and the enchanters, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, and let me just make a little footnote here. When that says Aramaic, I want you to know that beginning in chapter 2, verse 4, all the way chapter 7, verse 28, is not written in the Hebrew language, it's written in Aramaic. And so we have a good portion of almost 7 chapters written in another language. I picked up a dictionary and started to learn Aramaic, and it's not that difficult. But at this juncture, and the reason is because the Aramaic is the language of the Gentiles. And so God is letting us know in this particular section, whatever this dream is a message to those Gentiles living in that day. So look at verse 4. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we'll show you its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you're trying to gain time because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lies and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall make known that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, and Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and there is no one who can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out to the wise men, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. This is an interesting revelation given to this pagan king by God. The anxieties that he's experiencing during the daytime are a reflection of what is happening in the terrors of darkness of night. This man is greatly troubled. In fact, if you look at verse 2, that's exactly what the word is used, verse 3, that he is troubled, and also in verse 1 that he is troubled. He is so worried about this, and I think part of the reason why he's worried is because he realizes that in this dream, the implications have something to do with him. And Nebuchadnezzar, maybe he could or maybe he couldn't remember the dream, but what he's asking of these men is impossible. Not only do I want you to give me an interpretation of the dream, but first, tell me the dream that I had. I mean, it's one thing to interpret a dream. Somebody can make it up. That's like when you call one of those psychic lines and you tell them you had a dream. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear. But this is a situation where the man either forgot the dream or he's testing those who he has in leadership. I want you to not only tell me what the dream means, but first, I want you to give me its meaning. And he is serious about this. In fact, the king answered in verse 5 and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you're going to be torn limb from limb. You can possibly imagine what that must have been like. This man is a terribly insecure man. This man, though he has great power and immense strength in the world, it's the largest kingdom at the time, he is terribly insecure. We live in a world of uncertainty, and his world was definitely about ready to be turned upside down, and his world was filled with uncertainty. Even though that he is the most powerful man in the world at that particular time, those who have great power worry of whether they're going to keep their power. It's like rich people who have a lot of money. Are they going to be able to keep their wealth, or are they going to lose their wealth? We all worry about different things in our life. You don't have to be a king to worry. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our way of life. I don't know about you, but I've been worried about our country lately. I wonder how can our country and democracy, or republic, I should say, stand with all this hostility that is taking place, all this damage and looting and destroying. It really concerns me. And we should be praying for our nation. This man is not only greatly worried, but this man also is going to exercise great hostility towards anybody who would threaten his kingdom. To say to all of his government officials, look, I want you to tell me the dream, and I want you to tell me the interpretation of the dream. In fact, if you don't pull this off, I'm going to put all of you to death. That's a scary thing. Can you imagine going to work with a boss telling you, if you don't get the job done that I'm telling you to do, by the way, it's humanly impossible, I'm going to kill you at the end of your shift. That's exactly what is taking place here. But notice this, verse 12, because of this, the king was angry and furious and commanded that all the wise men in Babylon be destroyed. His inability of his power and restraint, his inability of human wisdom is found in these men. They cannot do what the king asks. But the king really wants to know. Why? Because he's hungry in his heart. This is a dream that has been given to him by God. And because it's been given to him by God, there is a churning within his soul. God is about ready to speak to this man in an incredible way. Well, let's look at the dream revealed in verse 14. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" And Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek the mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions may not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Then Daniel went to Arioch, who the king had appointed, to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation." Here it comes. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, "I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen in its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king and said, "No, wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But," I love this, verse 28, circle it, "there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." So this is a dream about the future. "Your dream and the visions on your head as you lay in the bed are these. You, to you, O king, as you lay on your bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind." Wow. God is going to reveal, and had revealed, to Daniel what that dream was all about. And that dream was specifically, intentionally, going to be directed at King Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, this dream is about you. And as the text goes on to say, especially in verse 29 and 30, it's about the future. "King, I'm going to explain to you what God told me, because this is the dream that God gave you." And what's the first thing that Daniel does before he even has an answer to this? As he goes in with his friends, Hananiah, he goes to see him, Mishael, he goes to see him as well. And not only that, but he brings in Azariah, and they begin to have a prayer meeting. They want to know, "God, what are you doing? What are you going to accomplish? What are your purposes, Lord?" And in order for them to find out truth of this dream, it begins with them having prayer. Daniel's life is going to be a life marked with prayer. You look at chapter 6 when we get there, Daniel in the lion's den, you're going to discover that this man was a tremendous man of prayer. And as he is praying, God gives to him the answer of the dream. Really remarkable. I don't know about you, but we need to be praying for our country right now. And we need some answers, because it doesn't seem like any of the political people out there have any answers whatsoever. In fact, as I was thinking of this in my study this week and just praying over this passage of Scripture, I kind of feel like I'm living in the 60s all over again. If you remember the 60s, we had the assassination of John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy. We had protests against the war, civil unrest, and then beginning in 1970, college students that were killed at Kent State. It just felt like the country was coming unraveled. And it almost feels like that today, doesn't it? And if you've lived long enough, you've experienced some of this civil unrest. And as I was praying about this, I said, Lord, what good could come out of this? But something good happened in the 60s. Do you remember what it was? It was the Jesus movement. There were hundreds and thousands of young kids who came to know Christ. And as I look out there and I see all this civil unrest and these kids have no idea what they're doing. They don't even understand it. And yet they're protesting. I'm praying for the Spirit of God to fall down upon them in such a way that we would see masses of these millennials come to know Christ as Savior. That God would bring upon us such a spirit that would just begin to start a revival. And these people would come to know Christ as Savior. Believe me, they don't understand what they're doing. Some of them, I understand you could protest, I get that. But to loot and to destroy. I mean, I was watching what was going on in Seattle, and now they've claimed a whole territory that's independent from the country of United States. Really? And yet they have a fire, and what's the first thing they do? Call the fire department. Well, if you're your own independent country, you need to have your own independent fire department. And the guy who's leading the whole thing has got a gun strapped to him. Why does he have a gun strapped to him? Because no society can function without enforcement. So you have to have some type of law enforcement. So the whole idea of getting rid of the police department is stupid. But nevertheless, and then here's what's really crazy to me. They've got this city and they put barricades all around the city to create a wall. Those are called borders. That's what we have in our country. You see, we have a police department and we have borders and we have a fire department and we have all these things because you need it for society to function. And they're going right back to doing the exact same thing. And that's because the answer doesn't lie within men. It really doesn't. Those people, they don't understand what they're doing. Pray for them. Because what I am asking God to do is to bring forth His Spirit upon them, to give them no rest like He gave Nebuchadnezzar no rest and no peace until He unleashes His Holy Spirit on them and suddenly they come to know Christ. Wouldn't that be massive? That would be awesome to see churches filled with young people who are coming to know Christ by the droves. And then what's really going to be cool is we'll get a whole generation of brand new music out of that group too. So we'll see how that goes. Now, look at this. We're now going to get the dream explained. Verse 31, look at it. You saw, O king, and behold a great image. This image was mighty and exceedingly bright. It stood before you and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold. Its chest and its arms of silver. Its middle and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of clay, partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked at the stone, there was a stone. A stone was cut out of no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. So look at this incredible statue that we have here. See if I can get this to advance. Technical difficulties here. Sorry about that. There we go. He was a head of gold, chest of silver. Ready? Belly and thighs were of bronze, and the legs were of iron and clay mixed together. Verse 35, then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver made of gold all together were broke into pieces. A rock came and smashed it. And it smashed it, and it became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we tell you, King, its interpretation. Here it is. So he's got this incredible image of a statue standing in front of him, a head of gold, the chest and the arms of silver, the thigh of bronze, the legs and the feet, or the legs at least of iron, and then the feet with clay and iron, and a rock comes and destroys the statue, and it completely falls. What does this mean? Here's the interpretation. Look at verse 37. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the Lord God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the might, and the glory. And into those hands he has given whoever they dwell, the children of men, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. So the very first thing that God says to Daniel, and Daniel tells the king, is that statue that you have in your dream, that head of gold, that's you. And then notice verse 39. Another kingdom inferior to you shall rise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks it to pieces and shatters all things, and like iron that crushes it, it shall break and crush these. Verse 41. And as you saw the feet and the toes, partly of the potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And the toes and the feet were partially of iron and partially of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle, as you saw the iron mixed with the soft clay. So they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. Now this is written hundreds of years before what is about to unfold takes place. First of all, he is saying this statue of gold is you. King, you are the one. You are the head of gold. And the Babylonian Empire was to be seen as a golden heir, rich and filled with everything that one could desire, an expansive, large kingdom. And that head of it was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the head of that. But then you'll also notice that the Babylonian Empire, basically from 626 to 539 BC, represents this head of gold. And it was a large empire. And you look at the area, it would be what we would call Iran and Iraq, and all the way down into Egypt. It was massive. So what God is saying to Daniel, and I want you to understand this, this is who you are, king, and this is your empire. But then notice, he's going to talk about a second empire, a third empire, a fourth empire, and then ultimately a fifth kingdom. And none of this has taken place yet. So this dream that he has is a prophetic dream of what God is going to do in the future. So here is Daniel saying to Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to lay before you what God has given to me, what you're going to understand as a map of world history. This is what literally baffles scholars today, especially those who don't believe in God's word. How in the world could Daniel know all this information? How could he know what the second kingdom is and the third and the fourth kingdom and ultimately the fifth kingdom? How could he know all that? Simple. There's a God who knows the beginning from the end. There's a God who raises up kings and lowers kings. There's a God who gives strength and might and power and grace. There is a God who rules and reigns. And as I look at the world around me and I see the world going nuts around me, my great hope and my great comfort is this. God is in control. He hasn't forgotten us. God is in control, and you and I can place our faith and trust in him because what he is doing. The second kingdom to rule, which is going to be the chest of silver, is the Medo-Persian Empire, a vast empire that was actually bigger but not as wealthy as the Babylonian Empire. It covers a larger area on the African continent and goes way up into the north and farther out into the east as it continues to expand. And then the third empire we understand to be the Empire of Greece, 332 to 63 BC, and that's the belly and thighs of bronze. And if you look at it, you'll see that it's even larger in scope and size than the two previous kingdoms that took place. And of course, we know who was the man that put all this together. This man was by the name of Alexander the Great, who conquered the kingdom of Persia, and he expanded his rule and his reign throughout the area. So the first three, gold, silver, and bronze, all have to do with three kingdoms. That one is present, Babylon, the second, the Medo-Persian Empire that hasn't come yet, and the third, the Grecian Empire, which is about to unfold. And then he starts to talk about the legs of iron. And we understand that clearly from 63 BC throughout the life of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is massive in size. In fact, if you look at it just on a map, they not only covered all of portions of Africa, they often went into Greece and to Rome and throughout the known world at the time, a massive size empire. Incredible. So here is God laying before Daniel in a dream and Nebuchadnezzar all of the incredible things that are yet to take place. Now, the only way that they could know this is that God gave it to him. And that's what God has done. But there's something that's incredible that happens to this statue. This is where you and I come in. Are you ready? You've got the head of gold, the Babylonian Empire. You've got the chest and the arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. You've got the belly and the thongs of bronze, that's the Grecian Empire. You have the legs and the feet of iron and clay, because iron represents strength, but also the frailness of the Roman Empire. Iron and clay mixed together is not a strong composition. But then notice this, a stone cut out not by human hands comes and smashes it and it falls over. Look at verse 44. And in the days of those kings, the God in heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break it in pieces, all these kingdoms, and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Do you have any idea who that rock would be that came during the time of the Roman Empire and literally brought down Rome as we know of it? And Christianity began as a powerful entity to spread throughout the empire. Do you have any idea who came and is referred to in Scripture as the rock? Or the rock that was not cut out or made by human hands? Do you have any idea of who that is? That would be your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? He is coming, he came at his first coming. And he smashed and those kingdoms came down. But notice this, verse 45. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke into pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God has made this known to the king what shall be after this. And the dream is certain in its interpretation. So the stone that is cut not by human hands, but obviously by divine hands, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he comes and he smashes this statue into pieces and it falls over. And it's as the wind comes, it's blown away like chaff. It must have been absolutely amazing to have this as a dream. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll also understand something very powerful that's taking place. The stone that struck became a great mountain, the scripture says, that filled the entire earth. It's a fifth kingdom. And what is that fifth kingdom? That fifth kingdom is the kingdom of God. Look at verse 44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. See, we don't have to worry about what's going on in America. I mean, it's okay to vote how you need to vote. And it's okay to fight for stability in our government. I think those are all good things. It's okay to be involved in the outcomes of our country. But here's what you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about ultimately what's going to happen, because this is a reference to the kingdom of God. In other words, what Daniel is explaining to Nebuchadnezzar is that another fifth kingdom is coming, and this kingdom that is coming is a kingdom that is going to invade the whole earth, and that is the kingdom of God. I don't have to worry about what's going to take place because of God's kingdom. And you and I are in the kingdom of God. And right now that kingdom rules and reigns within the hearts of individuals. And right now, through the power of the gospel, Jesus is on the throne, and you and I are part of his eternal kingdom. And the reason the world has no solutions to what is taking place today, the reason why the world is going nuts today and they can't understand, is because no one is looking to the Lord God. It is only the Lord God himself through Jesus Christ that can change the human heart to bring an end to domestic violence, to bring an end to racism, to bring an end to political strife and unrest. It is only through our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. That's what we have to change the world. You have within you the one element that can bring change and can bring a world to be transformed, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this was all prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came and before you and I were ever born. My friends, we are not citizens of this world. You may call yourself a citizen of the United States, and you may be proud to be a citizen. Today's Flag Day, I hope you wave the flag. But understand this, you are part of a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. You have a ruler and one who has reigned. And so when the world, the Bible tells us, is going to go absolutely nuts and there'll be nothing but trouble and tribulation, you and I can have peace, and you and I cannot be filled with anxiety and worried all the time, because we know who's in control of all things. It's the Lord himself. And the beautiful thing is that any harm should happen to you, if anybody should do violence to you or kill you, you will be with the Heavenly Father for all eternity and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the mystery. Though you and I are in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is within you, we're not in the fullness of the kingdom yet. In other words, the future has invaded the present. The kingdom of God is now here in our hearts. And someday, very soon, at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will bring about his millennial kingdom, and we will dwell in that with perfect peace and unity with him. And so we live in the presence right now of what is going to be ultimately the future of what God is going to do. And it's an incredible thing that God's kingdom reigns within your heart. You are saved from death and now have eternal glory. You are saved from shame and God has given you his kingdom. You are saved from slavery and now you are free. You were saved from sin and you are following your Savior. You're saved from the kingdom of darkness and you are now walking in the light. The Lord Jesus Christ will reign someday for all eternity, and I long for that day. And right now he reigns in our hearts. Amen. So let us serve the Lord every single day. Let us tell others about the goodness and the grace of God's kingdom, because it's growing and people are going to come to know Christ. I pray that this is just the beginning of a great revival that sweeps across our nation, where people young and old realize that they themselves are sinners and desperately need of a Savior and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that hundreds and thousands come to know the Lord. Won't that be exciting? Oh, let's live every day for the power of God's kingdom. Live every day with that kingdom in you and pray like Daniel and his friends did, that his glory might be known throughout the whole earth. Amen, church. Amen. Father in heaven, we want to bless you and thank you for your goodness and your love and the power of your kingdom. Father, I pray that in the days ahead, though we may not know who holds, or we may not know what the future holds, we know who holds that future, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. the very God who prophesied and spoke hundreds of years before kingdoms were even established, that one who is sovereign over all things. We love him and we praise him. May we be servants of your kingdom today and tell others of the goodness and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you to stand with us, church. Finish the time that we have with this prayer, this desire expressed in song. Let's sing.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail.
I find you.
And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name. You keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. When fear may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now.
The presence of my Savior.
Oh, amen, church. We don't belong to this world, do we? We're part of the kingdom of God, which is something completely different. And we are delighted to be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. He's coming back, and I think it's going to be soon. I really do. I pray it's very soon. Just to give you just a couple parting announcements, you know that it's church today because we officially have donuts back there on the table. So some of you can really celebrate. Dr. Frankel's class is going to meet after this over in the chapel, and we're trying to set that up, Warren, so that we can video it, because some people have been asking for it online. So we'll see if we can get that going as well. And then continue to remember Pastor Gus as he's recuperating in a lot of pain. And call him about 2 in the morning and wish him well and pray for him. We just continue to lift him up. Jelly, you got announcement?
Yeah, then on Tuesday, ladies, you're welcome to come and join us in person or online of our Women's Ministry of First Baptist Church Facebook page. We're going to be out at the Lems property, Creekside Farms. You can come talk to me, Janine, Kelsey, Therese is in the back there, and then the entire Lem family. But we hope to see you from 9 to 11 on Tuesday.
Good, and that's just for our gals, right? All right. So a lot of good things happening in the church. And then don't forget, our offering box is right over there. Just catch that on the way out, if you will, and continue to be in prayer. Father in heaven, I ask a blessing on your people. Father, who are part of your kingdom, who've been redeemed by you. We love you. We're yours. We belong to you and no one else. Father, as we give our lives and surrender to you every moment of every day, may you use us as a witness to advance your kingdom. May we go, therefore, into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, would you be pleased to expand your kingdom, and may it fill the whole earth. May those who do not know you come to know you as Lord and Savior. May those who are lost without hope and don't know what to do in life, may they discover the beauty of who you are and the joy of you. This is our prayer this day. We ask a blessing on your people in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God